I would normally say we're going to dismiss the kids today, but we got a kid today. Thank you, Rally, for coming. I appreciate it. For those of you that are here and have been here whenever I've preached before, I always try to like reiterate that this is a very big responsibility, and it's not lost on me. Being here is important. You won't be here long, I promise you that. Steve told me this morning that if I said that, that meant we needed to add 20 minutes to it. We won't need to add 20 minutes today. But I do remember whenever I was a kid and the pastor said, "This, I'm just about done." And I was like, well, that's 25 minutes. He's just about done. It's about 25 minutes longer. So that's not going to be a problem today. But I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my heart, but I want to talk about this first. This is something that has happened recently, and I'm going to do my best to get through it as I can. About 2 weeks ago, a little less than 2 weeks ago, we lost my sister-in-law, Jamie, and she went home to be with the Lord. And I cannot tell you how much your prayers have meant to Janice, Jamie, and I during that time. I can't imagine where we would be without that and without our church family and the comfort of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for those prayers. They did not go unnoticed. Please don't forget to continue to pray for Emily and Janice. And not only those folks, but there are other people that have lost loved ones. This time of year makes it difficult. And when it happens so close to family things, it makes it a little bit harder. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but it does. And because it's so immediate, I think. Okay, I made it through it without bawling. I did not at home. So, whenever Pastor asked me to do this kind of stuff, he doesn't do it very often, but when he does ask me, I usually have something in my mind that's been like percolating, that's ready to go. For those of you that don't know, that's an old coffee maker, a percolator. It's something that's like been in there, and it's been something that's been on my mind, and I know exactly what I'm going to talk about, and I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. I just got to break it all down into the way that I wanted to do it because the Lord's been working on it with me. That did not happen this way this time. And I don't know if it was because he and I had talked about him possibly being gone this week, and I don't know if it was because we'd been back and forth to the hospital or what. I really hadn't thought about it very much. I hadn't thought about what was coming, and then we talked about it. When he and I talked about it, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And my wife looked at me with the loving eyes that she had and said, don't worry, you'll find something. Knowing me, she knew I would find something to talk about. But I want to share something with you that is very personal to me, something that the Lord's been impressing upon me. I don't know how many of you go at each side of the church. We have these daily devotional things that are extremely a wonderful way to start the day. It doesn't matter when you get up. If you start the day with one of those devotional things, it really can lift you up and put you in the right headspace before the day starts. I'd ask that those things are very, very instrumental to me. Every morning whenever we get up, I have that app on my phone where it plays the verse and I read along with it as it's going. That's how we start the day. And this whole time, God, I feel like, has been speaking to me about one particular thing. So please bear with me. You may not necessarily need to hear this, but I need to say it out loud so somebody else can hear it. So thank you for being here. This is the time of year when we think about New Year's resolutions. Things that we did in the past year, things that we want to do differently in the next year. Things that, this is the time of year right now in the National Football League where teams are assessing players. They're deciding what they're going to do for the next year. They have people that are determining whether or not in their particular line of business, how many people they're going to keep, or do they need to hire more. There are things that you're doing, you're setting up budgets, you're setting up things that we're going to do for the next season of that next year, what are we going to do? And whenever we talk about New Year's resolutions, I heard it three times on the news this morning, what about losing weight? What about exercise? That's not what the Lord has put on my heart today. So please do not think that's what it is. Maybe it's a bad habit that you have. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something that you really wanted to do. Maybe it's you're going to get organized. Your closet is going to be this, 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 and this. That is never going to happen while I'm around in my closet. My wife will tell you. I try, and then I move everything back where it goes. We have these resolutions, and I don't... What happens? About 2 weeks in, we're eating Cheetos again. About 2 weeks in, we're like, I'd rather sleep than get up and run. About 2 weeks in, we're like right back to we're going to put the closet the way we had it. I liked it better that way. I could find stuff then. We want to make a resolution, or if we're going to make a resolution, I don't even like that word, but anyway, because it seems like it's one of those things that we don't wind up doing. But if I want to make some kind of a resolution, I want to be closer to my Savior this year than I was last year. I want to have a better relationship with the people that I come in contact with at church and the people that don't in my life. And in my mind, I'm like, how in the world can I do that? How am I going to have a better relationship? And God has been impressing on me so much about how important it is to pray. Some of you may be like, you didn't know that? Of course it's important. Of course it's important to pray. I'm not talking about before a meal. I'm not talking about at the end of the day. God has impressed upon me how important it is. But also, while I was thinking about that, I thought about some other things, like, when is the best time to pray? Where is the best time to pray? And how often should I be doing that? I know that sounds silly. I'm 11 years old. And how often do I do that? How many times a day should I be praying? Well, there's got to be something in the scripture that tells us what that is, right? There's got to be some scriptures. We got four today. I'll throw a fifth one in for free. You don't have no charge at all for that one. But I've got four. And before we do that, a lot of people are going to say, "Well, where do you pray?" Here. We pray here. I sure hope we're praying here. This is a building where we should be praying. We're here every Sunday. We have at least three prayers before we leave. That's not counting Sunday school. That's not counting whoever drove and you're like, please God, get us there. My wife does that every single time. I am positive of it. She's definitely been closer to God in the car than when anybody's been in their life. But it's not just about where we are. And this can't be the only time of the week that you're praying, by the way. This shouldn't be the only time of the week that you're praying. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of my favorite memory verses, because it's very succinct. It's not John 11:35, no. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, Pray continually. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. I'm thinking that should be a goal. Okay? That should be our goal. That's what we want to do. So when do we pray? Continually. That's right. When do we pray? All the time. When do we pray? When we get up. When do we pray? When we stub our toe before we say something that would definitely not be considered a prayer. But it also kind of answers all the questions. How often should I pray? When should I pray? Where should I pray? Well, if I'm praying continually, and I am continuing to exist, that means wherever you are, that's a prayer room. You may not feel like it's a prayer room. It may not look like a prayer room. You may say, this is my garage, and I'm on the floor underneath the car trying to find the nut that I just dropped all the way underneath it. Prayer room. Wherever you are is a prayer room if we're praying continually. Sorry, I wrote my notes out twice, and I'm trying to make sure that I get everything that I put on there. So let's take a little bit of a closer look. We got three more verses. Four if you want to stay for the free one. In James chapter 5 and verse, I have 17 here. It says 16 there. I don't know. I've got 16 on one list and 17 on the other. But it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I didn't even think when I was doing this initially about what do we pray for, right? I'm sure some of you were like, why didn't he say what? I got you. I got myself too. What do we pray for? We're instructed to confess our sins because God is powerful enough to forgive us. He sent his son to die on the cross to forgive us of those sins. And a prayer from that, it says that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know what that means? That means that if God saved you and you've confessed your sins, what you say to God is important. It's powerful. It's effective. You may say, well, he said no. That doesn't mean he didn't hear it. Let's think about, we're going to get to that later. I'm not going to go there. But just keep that in your mind. Hey, what are we praying for is important. God hears our prayers. We can ask him for help. Not just with what to say. Sometimes it's what do we pray for? God, I need help. Show me where I can do a better job of this. Show me where I can do a better job at this. And I feel like that God has just been holding up a mirror every time that I get ready to say something, and he's like, you could do this a lot better. And I go, just being a person? Or is it how I'm dressed? It's being a person. We can pray for other people. And when I say that, and I'm going to mention this more than once, that doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And that's the end of that statement. We have a lot of people posting hands, praying, and that is the beginning and the end of their prayer for anyone. We need to be better about that. I need to be better about that. It's not just, hey, I'm praying for you. It's not just, I'm praying that God takes that away from you. No, it's getting on our knees or standing or while we're driving and saying, God, please help me be better to that person. Help that person get through what they're getting through. Because guess what? The answer to that prayer might be they're not going to see any immediate relief. They're going to have this for a long time. This is going to be with them until I call them home. I never know if I got to hold it out or I can do it back here. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, I can't read it with my glasses on. I don't know why I do that. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. This particular portion of Scripture attacks me on every single angle. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. I can sweat thinking about exercise, okay? So nervousness and anxiousness is kind of like my default setting. Don't worry is basically what he's saying. How many of us have gotten away without worrying today about something? Maybe it was the rain. Maybe it was the I've got to travel later. Or maybe it was somebody else in completely. Stuff that's out of our control. But we still worry about it. Why? He's got it. He says, don't worry. Don't be nervous. Don't be anxious. Be thankful in every situation. My wife will remind me on several occasions. Where are we at here? Watch your tone. We need to be thankful. And I think that if we look around, it's very easy for our eyes to go, well, that person has this and that person has that, and not remember the things that we have, that God's given us. I think sometimes we don't think about how blessed we really are. I'm not talking about monetarily either. We live in the only country in the world where this happens. Not the only country in the world. But this is, the government doesn't get to come in here and say, you can't say that. That's a pretty big blessing. We can have prayer meetings and nobody's going to storm in with guns and take us out of there and throw us in prison. But if they did, would we be ready to do that? I don't know. We need to pray for that, because I'm a little worried about that. I'm not supposed to be worried. We need to understand that God answers prayer. I like the last part of that. I apologize. I don't know why I got this dry throat right now. Present your requests to God. Understand that those are requests, right? They're called prayer requests. We have a prayer wall over here. We have a wall where people cared enough to write down stuff that they would like you to pray for. And there are people praying for it. There are people that come in here and they pray for those things. Because God answers prayer, we may not always like the answer. Don't get too excited, but this is the fourth verse. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Sometimes you got to go to your room. Sometimes it's got to be between you and the Lord. It's always, by the way, between you and the Lord. But it's not with anybody else. You've got to get there and get real. Say, Lord, I need help with this. Sometimes you got to tell somebody else about it too, and you got to go, hey, look, I need you to hold me accountable. I'm not doing a very good job at this. I need you to help me. But sometimes you got to get in that room alone. And we need to remember that we're not praying to the ceiling. We are praying to the creator of this world. We are praying to someone who sent their son to die for our sins. We are praying to Jesus and to his Father. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. And the part that's the hardest is that he's going to say no sometimes. Now, it may be no, not now. Maybe later. You're not ready for that yet. It may be your sister-in-law is going to go home. We still have to be thankful. God didn't let her suffer any longer. Paul said that he asked God 3 times to remove a thorn from his flesh. Doesn't say what the thorn is, and it doesn't really matter. God said that my grace is sufficient. Does that mean that we pray for something 3 times and that's it? That's not it. I'm sure that wasn't the last time, but I'm sure Paul was like, I really wish you could ease this up a little bit. he did realize that God's grace was sufficient. And it is, by the way. And it doesn't matter how many times we say something. We need to continue to pray. It says in Thessalonians, it says pray continually, right? I didn't make that part up. It's there. So how do we pray continually? We're going to have to do like a gear change in our body and realize that everything we say is potentially a prayer to God. So maybe less I want, and say, Lord, help me. Not necessarily just to be happy with what I have. And to be happy that I know people that are going to pray for me. And I know people that love me. Because if you're in this building, you've got those things. You've got people that love you. People that are going to pray for you. I just want to do a better job of it in my life. That was the last verse that's on the screen, sorry. My challenge, and this is mostly to me, but if you feel like maybe you could do a better job at this, like I feel like I can, that starting right now, I want to have a better relationship with Jesus, and I don't want it to be a resolution that lasts 2 weeks, and the next thing I know, I'm into a bag of Cheetos and I'm not paying attention anymore. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that kind of resolution. I want a life-changing resolution to happen in me, and I want it to start right now. I want to be so close to Jesus that you guys are like, wow, there's really something different about that guy. The index cards that are kind of set near you. You don't have to do anything with them if you don't want to. But I put them there because if you're like me, you're going to leave here and you're going to forget something that was said. Not that it's earth-shattering and that you need to have it. But I wanted to start a list. Small list, prayer list. And I want I wanted to start with number one, and this is important to me, and I'm really trying hard not to get emotional about this. Number one, if you were going to start a prayer list today, is to pray for the pastor and his family. I'm not up here every week. When I said I don't, I didn't mean I don't pray for them. I meant I don't do this every week. I'm here for one day every 6 months or so. And when I am, I feel just a small bit of the weight of being here. Because if somebody's visiting, this may be the only impression that somebody has of our church today that's online is me. That is frightening to me. He does, and that's not including any of the other stuff that he does. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but when he's not here and there's something technically that goes wrong, it stays wrong for the rest of the day. It stays wrong until he gets back. I am not that guy. But that's not just it. Because I can tell you, since we talked about this and since I wanted to do this message, Satan has done as much as he possibly can to put stuff in my way so that I wouldn't talk about this, because he doesn't want us to have a better relationship with Jesus. He doesn't want us to be closer as a church. And pray for his family. He's not the only one doing this. They're doing it too, maybe not to the extent that he's doing it, but they are doing it. Pray for the church. I'm not talking about the building, by the way. I'm talking about everybody in here. Everybody that you noticed was missing today because they were on vacation or they're out of town or they're sick or they can't be here because they've been sick or they just couldn't make it today. Pray for them. And don't just say you're going to do it, do it. That was number two. I don't know if I said number two before. The third thing I was going to say was, this one's mostly for me. Pray for every request that someone took the time to share with you. And do it earnestly. Don't just say, I'm going to pray for you. Do it. That's mostly for me. That's why I clapped. Just saying that you're going to pray for somebody isn't enough. We actually have to do it. I couldn't be a juggler unless I actually practiced. And I don't think you can be a very good Christian if you're not willing to get on your knees and pray. Or to get into your private room and pray. Or to confess to somebody else, I got a problem here and I need your help. If somebody comes to you and they say, I've got a problem and I need you to help pray for me. I got a brother that's not well. I got a sister that's not well. My dad's not doing so good. If we're not willing to pray for those people right then and there, you might want to look at your relationship with God. And say to yourself, I need to do a better job. We go through that book and every morning we start out with you read the book in a year, the devotionals. They have you can read the Bible in a year. So we've been going through that and we've been listening to them every morning. Days ago, there's a little devotional that goes with everything. And at the top is a verse every time. It's from the portion of scripture that they're using for the devotional. Sometimes I look at it, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm familiar with it, so I don't really look. But this particular day, Psalm 55:17 was there. And if you get a chance, Psalm 55 is amazing. It's David, just talking directly to the Lord. Talking about the Lord, talking about how great he is and how he's been with him. But in verse 17, it says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. I just started crying. The table, and my wife looked at me, and she's like, what? And I go, it was God telling me, yes, this is exactly what I've been telling you. This is exactly what you need to talk about. You're in distress about it. It's okay. I've got you. He didn't say it out loud in words, okay? But he couldn't have been speaking any louder than he was to me right then. Morning, evening, or evening, morning, and noon. That pretty much covers the whole day, right? I'm not saying that every word that comes out of your mouth is going to be a prayer to God, but that should be our mindset. That's how we need to be. That's how I need to be. I need to be better about that. That doesn't mean that you're not going to talk about other things, but you need to be ready when the moment comes.